know, it's just good to worship God, isn't it? And the devil doesn't worship God. He wants to be worshiped. Amen. I saw something a few months ago. I'll tell you, I was having a time of prayer with the Lord. And you know, one of the temptations, of the three temptations that we have listed in the Word of God, where Jesus was tempted of the devil. Remember the one temptation, the devil said this, "If you will fall down and worship me, I will give you the kingdoms of this earth." Now that was a valid temptation. If it wasn't, Jesus wouldn't have known it. Amen. And all of a sudden I saw it in my spirit, and the Lord said, "Well, if you fall down and worship me, the true God, don't you think I will give you," fill in the blank. Amen. See, the devil wanted to be worshipped. He wanted to be like God. But he's not. The devil's never to be worshipped. But Jesus, the Son of God, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one that we can worship. And when we worship him, he gives us. Just like that Syrophoenician woman that came to him. And you remember the story about, you know, she said, "Lord, even the dogs get the crumbs." And she worshipped him. And when she worshipped him, her daughter was set free. Remember that? Glory to God. So when it seems like nothing else works in our lives, when we worship God and we thank him. Now, I don't mean just in church, but it's Monday through Friday. You know, when you're in your house, no one else sees you. What do? Do we praise God? Do we worship God? I drive down the road. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I look at the road, but I praise God. I give thanks to him. Amen. And you watch and see what happens when we worship him. Praise God. If you have your Bibles today, turn with me to Matthew, the 14th chapter. Matthew 14, as you're turning there, we'll pray. Father, we set ourselves in agreement today to hear words that change our lives. Eternal words, words from heaven, words that are eternal, words that are full of life. And today we open up our minds and our hearts. Holy Spirit, speak to us today. Reveal the plan of God to us today. Bring us up higher in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just to kind of catch up here, we've talked over the last four sessions here. This is number five today. We've talked about number one, how to deal with the past properly. Number two, we talked about having a positive expectation for our future. Number three, we talked about seeing yourself as God sees you. And number four, last week we talked about having an attitude of gratitude. Amen. And again, I really encourage you, if you haven't heard some of these sessions, go back on our website. You can hear them, download them for free, because they're just truths that will set you free. Amen. These are truths that I've walked in for a number of years, and I continue to walk in them because the truth shall make you free. And once you discover the truth of the Word of God and you begin to walk in that, you're never the same person again. Amen? But let's pick up today, and I want to start in verse 23. That's Matthew chapter 14 and verse 23, and then I'll share with you after we read this what we're going to talk about here today. Amen? It says, "When he sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray." You know, Jesus was a man of prayer. Amen? Something about going up into a mountain to pray. Now, I like to go up in a mountain and ski. I love skiing. I enjoy skiing. Amen? But I like to pray. I like prayer more than skiing. Amen? Set that for the record. It says, "He went up into the mountain apart to pray, and when evening was come, he was there alone." And verse 24 says, "Now the ship was in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, and the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them," notice this, "walking on the sea," the Sea of Galilee. Verse 26, "When his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit or a ghost,' and they cried out with fear." Now, just take a little pause here. Put your pause button on in verse 26. Most of these disciples, prior to being called of God to follow Jesus, were in the fishing business. Superstition had it back in even those days, just like people have superstitions today, that if you're out on the water, you know, and you saw a spirit, that meant within seconds you were about to die. So this is kind of what's going through their mind, okay? That's why they shrieked out with fear. It says in verse 26, they cried out with fear. They were shrieking in fear. All right? In verse 27, and straightway Jesus spake unto them and saying, be of good cheer. In other words, get happy.
Don't worry, be happy.
That's right. That's right. It is I, be not afraid. And so he just all of a sudden he just broke through here with the words, it is I, be not afraid. And so you can see they're like, you ever see a cat get scared and they get up on all four and the back's up in the air? They're kind of like that. Okay. So he said in verse 27, Jesus spake and said, be of good cheer, it is be not afraid. And Peter, verse 20, answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, in other words, if it be you, bid me to come to thee on the water. In other words, ask me to come to you on the water. Verse 29 says, he said, one word, come. Now, what's Jesus going to say? I mean, he asked him a question. If that's you, is he going to say, no, it's not me? He asked an honest question. Now he's going to give an honest answer. He said, if it's you, Lord, bid me to come to thee on the water. Think about that. And verse 29, here's what happens. And he said, come. And Peter was come down out of the ship, walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, folks, this is a miracle, isn't it? In all of his years of fishing and experience, nothing like this has ever happened. He's literally walking on the water. Say, he walked on the water. Amen. Brother Len Mink wrote that song, Walk on the Water. Amen. Oh, I love that song. And so he walked in verse 29. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Can you see that in your mind's eye? He's walking to Jesus on the water. Now, he's not water skiing. You know, there's not an outboard there. You know what I mean? He's walking on the water. My goodness. And verse 30, it says, but when he saw the wind boisterous. How many of you know you don't see wind, but you feel it, and you can see the effects of the wind? When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. In other words, what he saw with his eyes produced fear in his heart. And then it says, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Press the pause button right there. Now, notice that here's Peter. He's walking on. Most of you have read this story before, but I want you to see this in a new light today, almost as if you've seen it for the first time. He's walking on the water above water. He's not swimming. He doesn't have a life raft on. He's walking on the water to go to Jesus. But all of a sudden, he saw the wind boisterous. In other words, he saw waves because wind produces waves. All right. Now, how many of you know that walking on the water, you can't walk on the water on a calm day? You say, well, there's no waves. I can walk. No, you can't walk in the water on a calm day. And it says it beginning to sink. Now, how many of you ever jumped off a diving board at the side of a pool before and you dove into the water? Anybody ever done that before? Okay. How many of you know you don't begin to sink? Yeah. It's within seconds, within a split second, you're sunk. Okay? It's not a process like slow motion, like I'm beginning to sink, you know? But in this case right here, Peter, and here's what we want you to see, that Peter went out on the water on one word, come. One word from God will sustain your life.
Amen.
One word from God will cause you to do things that natural people could never do. One word, that's all you need. I mean, one word. One scripture can change your life. And all he had was come. Now, you can imagine the other disciples, they're back in the boat. I mean, the other 11, they're sitting in the boat like spellbound, like, did he just do this? You know? Now, people criticize Peter for sinking and all that, but you know what? The other 11, they stayed back in the boat. They played it safe, didn't they? But I give Peter a lot of credit because he had some spunk about him, amen? And he was willing to dare things and step out. He literally stepped out of the boat and walked on the water. But when he saw in verse 30 the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." All right, so he starts to go under. And immediately Jesus, verse 31, stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased, and they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Isn't this an amazing thing that happened here in the life of Jesus, in the life of Peter, the disciples? I mean, this is one of the best encounters I've ever seen. And to this day, I'm just amazed when I read this, you know. But there's some other things that are hidden in here that are for us today. This isn't just a history lesson like, you know, Jesus had Peter walk in the water, da-da-da-da. You know, that happened in history, you know what I mean? But there's something in there for us today. Amen. What's today, the 27th? Okay, there's something in here for us on September the 27th, 2015 at 11:15. There's something in here for us. He responded to the word of God and he stepped out and started doing the impossible. Amen? Now, what I want to talk about today is, what are you looking at? What are you focused on in your life? Okay? There are enough distractions. Brother Dan had a marvelous teaching this morning. He was talking out of Mark 4 about the distractions of this age, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things come in and choke the word of God. And Peter, as long as he had his eyes on Jesus Christ, who is the word of God, the living word of God, he was walking on the water. But when the devil threw up a current of wind, then the waves began to kick up. He got his eyes off of the Master Jesus and he got his eyes on the waves, and that's when he began to sink. Hallelujah. That's when he began to sink. Okay? How many of you ever felt like in your life like you were sinking? Maybe you had a trial, a pain or a sickness or a financial burden in your life and you felt like you were about to cave in. Anybody been there before? Am I the only one? I could raise both feet too, but I'm not going to do it. Man, you just have this feeling like, oh God. And it usually starts in your emotions. You feel like, I'm sinking in my emotions. Whew, that's why the Bible says, don't let your hands hang down, but lift them up. Praise God. But I'm going to pose this today because we're living in a day and an age right now. You know, there are many, many, many distractions. There's a lot of bad news. There's a lot of things that are out there to counteract your faith and what you're believing God for. And sad to say, there's a lot of believers, so-called believers out there that are siding in with the devil as well. Okay? But I'm, you know, the good thing is when you come to church here, I can tell you this, you're going to get good news when you come here. You're not going to be told how to live in poverty and defeat. You already know how to do that. You're going to be taught how to walk in victory in your life. Amen? Glory be to God. How to walk and overcome in this life. That's really the main essence of our vision, to teach people how to overcome, how to win in life, how to succeed at your marriage, how to succeed on the job, how to win in your finances, how to win in relationships. The Bible is just full, chock full of revelation how we can do that. So Peter got into a problem here because of what he was looking at. There's an obscure portion of Scripture here. You don't have to turn to it, but I'm going to quote it here and you can write it down. But in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 51, you can hold your place here at Matthew. It says this, that he says, "Mine eye affecteth," Jeremiah wrote Lamentations, said, "Mine eye affecteth my heart because of the daughters of the city." Mine eye affecteth mine heart. Do you see that? Because of the daughters of the city. We would say it like this: what you look at will affect the condition of your heart. Okay? I can get that. That's more plain, right? That's Pittsburgh language, right? We can get that, right? What we look at will affect the condition of our heart. This is exactly what happened to Peter, that what he was focused on. Now, on one hand, he's looking at Jesus. He's doing great. He's literally doing the impossible. He's walking on the water. Think about that. But just a few short seconds later, he got his eyes off Jesus, the living word, and he got his eyes on the circumstance. He says, uh-oh. Amen? Now, if you go to a doctor and he tests you out, he says, uh-oh, you're in trouble. You go to your tax man and you give him all your information. He says, uh-oh. God never said, uh-oh. Are you with me now? And But Peter, he's doing the impossible. But the devil is the master of distractions. And if he can get a little wave going there and you start, ooh, do you see that? Do you see what's coming there? You know, you read the newspaper, you hear something on the news or whatever, you know, or somebody talks to you, get a phone call, you know. Did you hear what's coming down? They're laying off all the people down at the plant, you know. What is it? That's a wave. That's a wave. And the devil wants us to get our eyes off of Jesus, off the Word of God, get our eyes on the problem, and then we start to sink. Now, I've done this myself. Ask me how I know. But I've watched other people. And part of our job, really, is to help people to not sink. Now, the very fact that you're here this morning under the Word of God means that you mean business. You're not just playing church. You mean business, and the Word of God is real to you. But, you know, even in Peter's mess, he sank. He cried out. He said, Master, save me. Remember that? Yes. Jesus didn't put his hands on his hips and say, well, you know what? You got to learn from this, buddy. You'll never learn. Bloop, bloop, bloop. And he's fellowshipping with fish under there. You know, and that didn't happen. So even in his missing it, you know, and when we miss it, the mercy of God is there to pull us up. Like the guy said, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. And the Lord helped him. He didn't say, no, you don't know a lesson here. You know? There's something really powerful about that we have to understand about the mercy of God. Because the mercy of God, Buddy Harrison wrote a book one time, it's the gift before and after faith, the mercy of God. Because we can get from God what he gives in his mercy that we could never get by faith. Because, you know, there are times I've needed the mercy of God. There's times I feel like, Lord, I don't know if I have faith for this. I feel like I'm sinking right now. Well, the Lord's not going to say, well, until you have enough faith, you're not going to make it. But we can cry for mercy. You can cry for mercy for your family members. Lord, have mercy. I've watched it through the years, different family members that really majorly screwed up, really messed up. Some of them were believers. And Lynn and I, we'd say, Lord, have mercy on them. Forgive them. Have mercy on them. They don't know what they're doing right now. Have mercy on them. And the Lord comes through for them. May not see it immediately, but the Lord comes through. And so God's love and God's mercy is there for you and for me. We don't have to be perfect for God to help us, because none of us are perfect. I'm not perfect. Pastor Lynn's not perfect. None of us are perfect. But we have a perfect Jesus. And so we can ask, Lord, I need your help right now. I've messed up. I've made some mistakes, you know. You ever been there before? Amen. You did your best, but you messed up or whatever, you know. But listen, the Lord's mercy is there. I felt really compelled to say that here this morning. His mercy and his love is there for you to help you and to pick you back up. Amen. Okay? So, I want to pose this today. What are we looking at? Now, I've never been a follower or per se fan of NASCAR or racing. Some people are, okay? I don't know if that's, you know, below the Mason-Dixon line that people are into that more. I don't know, you know. But anybody here into racing, you like to watch race cars? Okay. Maybe, oh, there's one back there. She's from Ohio. You know, we forgive her for that. But, you know, I have to get on Rebecca's case. Amen. Praise God. She's even a Buckeye fan. Oh. Yeah. That's something. Did they win yesterday? They did. Okay. She's in a good mood now. I know that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Where was I? What was I talking about? I lost my train of thought here. I did. I lost my train of thought. Where was I? Oh, yeah, about the races. Yeah. I saw Now we're talking about what we're looking at, but I saw a documentary on television a number of years ago. I can't recall how long ago it was, but it was really interesting, and it was about these professional race car drivers, you know, and they would get in the car, put the camera in there, and they would show them when they're going, you know, 200 some plus miles an hour. I mean, it's amazing. Yeah. I mean, just everything in that thing shakes. There's nothing could stay still, you know, because they're going at such high speeds. But I remember specifically that when they were interviewing the one driver, and I don't recall who it was, and I saw something in here that really spoke to my heart. And now when you look on television and you're seeing that, it doesn't look like they're really going that fast. You think, I could do that. I could jump on the parkway and do that. Yeah, right. However, yeah, it's kind of deceiving. It's kind of like when you see a plane coming in from afar. It looks like they're barely hovering in the sky. You ever see it? They're like, how are they even staying up there? Well, they're going like 150, 200 miles an hour when they're landing, okay? But from our perspective, it doesn't look that way. It looks like they're just kind of like cruising in real slow. Do you ever do that before? Especially the airport right here, you know? But if you're on the plane, you see how fast you are going, okay? Now, what's interesting, because there's been so many tragic accidents, when these guys go around these corners, they have four corners, of course, you know, they go around, or actually two corners, you know, I'm thinking a square. But they're going to, and they have two ends, you know, that on a basic track, you know, that the most dangerous part of the track is when you're going around the bend. Because there's a tendency to look towards the wall, he was saying this, and he says, if I looked at the wall while I'm going 180 miles an hour, 200 miles an hour, there's a drawing effect that what you look at will draw you into that. Yeah. And boom. And so they've been trained professionally that when they're going around each end, they're not looking at where they're at. They're looking at where they're going. So in other words, they're not looking at the wall. They're looking to where they are headed. Okay? They're not there yet. But in a split second, they will be there, okay? And so I saw something in this because if we look at the immediate, if we look at the natural, if we look at what's close to us, it has a drawing effect to bring us into that wall where we have a crash. Are you with me now? Yes. And life is like that because we can be going along and all of a sudden some big test or trial, some whatever comes at you. In the form of a sickness or a pain or a disease or a family tragedy, or it could be anything, you know. It has a way of captivating our attention so that we look at the wall. When we look at the wall, it has a drawing effect that draws us to it. So it's interesting because what you look at, you're drawn to it. Right. Amen? And so I never knew that until I saw this interview. I thought that was really interesting because when they're going around the bend, they're not looking at the wall. They're looking at 150 yards, 200 yards, where they're heading up there. They're looking there, and so therefore they go in that trajectory. Okay, they're going in that direction. Okay, do you see what I'm talking about here?
Yep.
So what you look at will affect the condition of your heart. Okay, now praise the Lord. Are you ready? It doesn't matter how big the test and the trial is that you're going through right now. It doesn't matter how big it is. If you keep your eyes on the Word of God, on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God, by the way, you will reach your destination. I look back in my life and there have been hundreds of opportunities to fail, to cave in, to quit. And I mean all kind of different stuff. There's been many, many, many opportunities. It's like Brother Hagin said, I've passed up some marvelous opportunities to worry and fear. Isn't that true? Because what you look at and what you hear with your ears affects the condition of your heart. Praise God. There are some ministries and some, I'm not naming any, but there's some that they're propagators of fear. And they put fear in people. They motivate people by fear. Even sometimes when people teach on the end times. We're not to preach doom and gloom in the end times. The Antichrist is coming. You know? He's in the earth today. It can be delivered in such a way that it puts just strike terror in the hearts of people. But you know, you read the Apostle Paul, he says, comfort one another with these words. He's talking about the end times, being, you know, caught up, you know, at the last trump. That's not Donald. But at the last trump. We won't go there. He says the dead in Christ shall rise. That's not the first church of the Presbyterians down the road either, by the way. Okay, but he said the dead in Christ will rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, rapture, caught up together in the Lord. And then he says, comfort one another with these words, because when you see all hell breaking loose around you, know that your redemption, look up, for your redemption draws near. Hallelujah. And so the end times is not a message of defeat and despondency. It's a message of victory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's another subject. So let's get back to this situation right here. What are we looking at today? What are we looking at? Every one of us here in this room have a perspective on things. If you walked in here today, for example, and you feel kind of despondent, kind of discouraged, there may have been people today that were about to come to church, but they were so discouraged they didn't want to come. Okay? Because they're going through some stuff. All right? What we're looking at with these eyes, will definitely affect the condition of our heart. If, in other words, if I'm sad or if I'm depressed, it's because of what? Two things, what I'm seeing or what I'm hearing. It's the truth. It always is the truth. And don't shout me down now because I'm preaching real good. Okay? Getting quiet on me now. Amen? What we're looking at. Folks, there are some things that if I looked at in the natural, I would be sad, I would be depressed, I wouldn't even get up here and preach this morning. Okay? But I'm not looking at those things. The Bible says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things that are unseen, the Word of God. Amen? How do we walk in victory? We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. That's what 2 Corinthians says. We walk by faith and not by sight. I heard the Holy Ghost talk to me years ago. He said, son, it's impossible for you to be depressed. Talking to Keith here. He said, it's impossible for you to be depressed if you're looking at my word. And within myself, I said, oh, I sure haven't been looking at you like I need to, Lord. Okay? Because you can, I'm telling you, you can be around other people even. You can have Sister Bucketmouth live next door to you. Even a believer. And they're the bearer of bad news. Bearer of bad news. Okay? And sometimes even Christian folks can side in with the devil, don't even realize it. But you know, the Bible says faith always has a good report. Oh yeah, faith has a good report. They looked at Joshua and Caleb like they're a bunch of nutballs. They did. They wanted to stone them. That's how mad they were. But Joshua and Caleb had a good report. All the odds were stacked up. Big old giants in the land. There's no way in the natural they could go in and possess the land. But God said, it's yours. You take it. Well, those 12 spies went up there. Remember that? One leader from every one of the... There's 12 tribes in Israel. Each one had a leader. And God said, send 12 the leaders up to spy out the land. Not to see if they could go in, but to see where they could go in. Get a sneak preview. They brought back proof of the fruit of the ground. They said that they had clusters of grapes as big as softballs in the promised land. Well, they came back and held it between their shoulders, you know, and they said, here it is, here's the proof. And everybody was like, look at that. They're drooling over this stuff. But they said this, the 10 spies in Numbers 13, you can read about it, in case you think I'm making a make-believe story here. All right? And the Bible says that the 10 spies, the majority of those spies, these are the heads, by the way, of the Israelites, you know, of the tribes. They said, we can't do it. There's too many giants. They're too big. We can't do it. We're like grasshoppers in our own sight. So we were in their sight. But Joshua and Caleb, the Bible says they had another spirit. They had another spirit. 2 out of 12. The minority. 2 out of the 12. And sometimes you're going to be the minority when you stand up and you believe God. You're going to be the minority. I'll tell you that right now. But in actuality, you're the majority, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The greater one abideth inside of you. Hallelujah. And when you realize the greater one is inside of you, more that they that be with you than they that be with them. There's the greater one. He lives on the inside of you. And so Joshua and Caleb said, they're bred for us. We can go up and do this. God's for us. You know. And you know what happened? The 10 spies and those underneath them perished in the wilderness. That wasn't God's will. But Joshua and Caleb had another spirit, Numbers 14. What was that spirit? The spirit of faith. They said, God said it, we believe it, that settles it, we're going to do it. Doesn't matter how big the giant is. You see, when David fought Goliath, you know, basic measurements for that particular day, the cubit system, you know, he was between 11 and 12 foot tall. You don't call him shorty. You know what I'm saying? And when David fought Goliath, he made this statement. It's kind of unusual, but he said this. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Something to think about that. Circumcision was a sign that you were in covenant with God. It was physical circumcision. Now, in the New Testament, the Bible says we are the circumcision of the heart. Something's cut out. Amen? But David, it didn't matter how big that giant. Goliath could have been 25 foot tall or 90 feet tall. That wasn't the issue. Here's the issue. David said, I have a covenant with God. He don't.
Amen.
I know it's bad English, but you know what I'm saying. And he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who defies the armies of the living God? You know, King Saul even tried to put his armor on him. Remember that? He said, try this. And he didn't prove it. He said, this doesn't fit right. Doesn't feel right. He said, forget this. I'm just going to go out there with what I know. He went out there with one little slingshot. No armor, nothing. Well, he had the armor of God. And he began to talk to that giant before anything happened. He says, I'm telling you what, I'm going to take your head off today. I'm going to give your flesh to the birds of the air. I'm going to show you how to get ahead in life.
Yeah.
And he, whack. They tell us that, you know, the Goliath was so full of armor that he saw he was disdained by this little ruddy shepherd boy. And they tell us that he threw his head back and laughing in scorn. And David's thinking, there's an exposed area right there. That helmet went back, kaboom, hit him right between the eyes, knocked him down. He went over, took Goliath's sword and cut off his head. I didn't plan on talking about that today. But here's the point I want to make is this. All the other Israelites were chicken. I mean, Goliath is a type of the devil. He went out for 40 days and he would taunt the Israelites. And it says that fear just went across the Israelite camp. I mean, their knees are fellowshipping with one another every day. Oh, you know, and Goliath just spoke. Oh, and he's telling what he's going to do. He's a type of the devil. But David gets in there and says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. See, faith talks before it acts. Faith has a voice. You speak it before you do it, before you see it happen. Amen. You make statements like, I'm coming out of debt this year. This is my year. In the name of Jesus, I'm coming out. Now, you don't see any way in the natural how that's going to happen. Because you thought, I got to get 5 more jobs to pay these bills. Listen, you're not looking to yourself. You're looking to God. So David said, you know, he's uncertain. He doesn't have a covenant with God, but I do. And so what happened is all those other chickens in Israel had a surge of courage. You know, when Marty stood up last week and she said, bless God, I got victory over cancer. They only gave me a few months to live or whatever it was, less than a year, but now she's cancer free. Okay? Well, guess what? There should be a surge of courage that goes across the rest of the body here courage that if she did it, I can do it, whatever situation I might be in. May not be the exact thing, but it might be something similar. Boy, if God gave her victory, and that's why testimonies are so important. It makes us realize God is real. God is alive.
Amen.
And I remember back a number of years ago, we believe in our church that it's important to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues, okay? There's a proper way to do that, okay? A lot of people have misconceptions about that, you know. There's a public side to tongues that not everybody operates in, but there's a private side to tongues, okay? It's kind of like you have a car, that's for you, but a bus is for everybody, all right? And not everybody has the gift of diverse kinds of tongues or interpretation of tongues in a public assembly. Not everybody has that. But everybody has and can be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues in your privacy of your own bedroom, amen, or wherever you're at, to edify yourself, to build up yourself, okay? And I remember I was asked to preach in my church. I was the assistant pastor in a church. This is in 1984, to be exact. And we are in a church in Killeen, Texas. You've heard my story sometimes. And the pastor was going to be away. And there was a midweek service. It was a Wednesday night service. And they would have anywhere from 300 to 500 people show up on a midweek service. It was a large church. That was a midweek. And, man, we got our roots there. Our roots there. We grew so much there. Just ran out of Bible school, Lynn and I. And so I found out about a week before the pastor, you know, and I was a little nervous about it. I'd never ministered in that many people before. So I made sure I'm going to take some extra time here. I'm going to really pray about this and really get the mind of God, what he wants me to teach on. And I think I ended up teaching on healing, to be exact. I ended up teaching on that. But I remember I was in our apartment on the second floor. We had a two-bedroom apartment in Killeen, Texas, on the second floor. I was by myself. Lynn was off somewhere else. I don't know where she was at the time. But I was praying, and I was listening to some worship music on my little cassette player. And I remember spending, anywhere from an hour to 2 hours in that little bedroom, okay, up there. And I'm praying in the Spirit. Just fellowshipping with God. And listening to worship music at the same time. And I felt the presence of God come into that bedroom, that little apartment complex. I felt the presence of God come in. And I didn't know what else to do. I just sat there. I was on the edge of my bed, and I just kind of sat there. And the Lord said this, call Alice Arnstein out tonight in the service. I want to heal her. Okay? Now, who's Alice Arnstein? I met this lady one time. There's no way in the natural that I should have even remembered her name. There's hundreds of people there. And so I just made a note of it. I wrote it down in my notes, you know, and I went to studying my material. And he said, call her out at the end of the service. I want to heal her tonight. That's all I got. But here's the thing. I'm in the presence of God. All right? I'm just worshiping him. I'm not fighting the devil and all this kind of stuff. I'm just enjoying God's presence. All right? Well, this thought crossed. The Bible says, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Okay? It's a miracle I still remember that lady's name. You know, that was 1984. And so this thought crossed my mind. I don't even think she even comes on midweek. But I said within myself, well, Lord, if that's you, that'll come to pass. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Okay? Now, what I didn't realize, this woman was in a major accident. Somebody had rear-ended her in her car, and she had crippling arthritis and all through her neck and her back. I mean, she was a mess, okay? She needed help even walking and stuff like that. And so I got up there, and I ministered the word, and I was, as I'm preaching, I looked across the crowd. I'm trying to see. I thought, there she is, right over there on the right side of the sanctuary. Yeah, that's her. She was there with her family. And I don't remember seeing her on a midweek service before, you know, because you got your people that come Sundays and Wednesdays. They're there all the time. But then you got just your Sunday crew, you know what I'm saying? Well, she normally wasn't there on a Wednesday night. Well, she shows up, all right? Now, I'm just acting out what the Lord spoke to me and just what he revealed to me. And I got to ministering, and then the piano player came up. She started playing the piano, and I said to this effect, I said, I'm going to just obey the Holy Spirit. Is that okay with everybody right now? And they said, oh, yeah, sure, yeah. And I said, Alice Arnstein. And she looked at me like, whoa, am I in trouble or what? Assistant pastor calls my name out of it. You call me on the carpet. I'm thinking, she's probably thinking that, you know. So, you know, she kind of feebly gets out in the aisle as best she can. And she comes up, you know, just barely, you know, walking normal. And she makes her way up front. And I said, the Lord wants to heal you tonight. And she threw her hands up in the air like this. And I barely touched that woman. She went boom, like a ton of bricks. She hit the ground, you know. Ushers caught her, of course. Good usher's catch, man. She fell under the power. She fell under the power of God. And I mean, I just stood there and I watched, and she was just weeping and weeping and tears coming down her face. She's just laying there on the ground. You know, so I just went back up on the stage there and kind of did some other things, and then we closed it out, you know. She got in touch with that, with which Lynn and I, she got in touch with us. She says, you'll never know how much that ministered to me. She goes, I had severe pain. And it was night and day. And she said this, when you laid hands on me, the power of God came into me and drove out that pain, that arthritis, whatever was in there because of that accident. And she had been dealing with that for years. And she goes, look, I'm totally free. I can do. I have all movement I can do. I can bend over. I'm free as a bird. I'm free as a bird. Now, why am I saying this? Because there is an anointing that's available for you and for me to break bondages that have been there for a long time. Amen. Okay? See, we're not just, this Christian walk that we're in, we're not just out there hoofing it, you know, trying to do it on our own strength. You're like, let's serve God. Come on, roll your sleeves up. Let's serve God. Listen, we're co-laborers together with God. Amen. It's not he's over there and I'm over here. Right. Amen? He's in me. And if he's in me, he's going to impact me everywhere I go. Amen. I can't lose if he's in me. Amen. Amen. Sickness can't take me out. If God's on the inside of me, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Isn't the Lord good? Amen. What time is it here? We got a couple of minutes and wrap this up. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I got two scriptures I'm going to read, and we're going to dismiss you here this morning. So we asked this question, what are we looking at today? What we're looking at determines everything. How many of you ever watched the news before and you got more depressed after watching it?
Amen.
6 o'clock, bad news, here it comes. Especially the local news. I mean, I did a little research on this one time. I thought, you know, the local news, it's pitiful. Pittsburgh. Local news, and it's probably that way across the board, but it's about as negative as it comes. I mean, who got shot, who got raped, you know, who lost their job, whose car hit someone else. I mean, it's all reporting the bad news. That's all it is. There's a million other good things that are happening, but they don't report that because good news doesn't sell.
That's right.
Okay? They won't even, you call someone, something really good happened, they're not going to send Channel 11 down there and sky watching all this stuff. They're not going to come. Is it bad news? No. Well, if it's good news, they don't want to hear it. They want to hear bad news. Now, they don't even realize the Bible says that Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. And he controls the social media like that to put and instill fear into people. But look at this scripture right here in Hebrews 12, verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And the witnesses that he's referring to in chapter 11 are the hall of faith, the people, the by faith, Sarah, by faith, Abraham, all the people in what we call the hall of faith of fame, okay, in Hebrews chapter 11. These are the cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight, the sin that doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Look at verse 2. Looking unto what?
Jesus,
the author and the finisher of our faith. So we're to look to who?
Jesus.
Who is Jesus?
Word.
He's the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. So you don't separate the Word of God from Jesus. They're one in the same. Okay? So look at it like, look at, read it like this. Looking unto the Word, the author and the finisher of our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, right? So we look unto the Word, who for the joy that was set before Him, that's Jesus, endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He endured with joy the cross that was before Him because He saw the big picture. He wasn't looking at the wall, the cross. He was looking at me and you. Amen. If He would have looked at the wall, the cross, you know what I'm saying? He would have caved in and just gave up. But you know what? He looked down through the ages and He saw people like you and me sitting in here today and billions of people throughout the earth that have made Jesus Christ their Lord and their Savior. Glory to God. Glory. That's what He saw. That's what kept Him going, the joy that was set before Him. He endured that cross. See, we can endure anything when we know the outcome. Yes. How do we know the outcome? The Word. Amen. The Word of God. See, there's things I'm believing God for in my life, you know, just like you are. Now, my physical eyes haven't seen it yet, but my spiritual eyes have. My spiritual eyes have seen. I said, I'm laying hold of that. That's mine in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. That's what gets me up in the morning. That's what keeps me going. I don't need a big, massive cup of coffee in the morning to keep me going. I gave it up anyway. That's another story. But looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. The Word of God will get you what you need. Okay? The Word is the seed of God. The Word of God. Last scripture, Proverbs 4, and then we close. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. So I want to say this again. What are we looking at? In just a few minutes here, when I dismiss you, you're going to go, everybody here is going to go their own direction, their own way. You have stuff going on like any other church. However, you're going to have opportunities from this moment forward, from today till next weekend, to be looking at natural stuff, bad stuff. You're going to have the opportunity to look at that stuff. Or you can make a decision. I'm not moved by that. Now, you're not denying the fact that it doesn't exist. I mean, you're not saying sickness isn't there, pain's not there. That's real. But you know what? The Word of God's more real. It's more real. I'm not denying the fact that I have a pain in my body. I'm denying its right to exist in my body. Amen. And the line of the tribe of Judah will rise up on the inside of you. He'll say, this cannot stay in my body. My body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've been bought with a price. But in Proverbs 4, verse 20, this is it right here. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, but keep them in the midst of thine heart. Notice this, for they are life to those that find them. And notice this, health to how much of their flesh? Now see that word health right there in 22? In the margin of my Bible, it says H-E-B, that means short for Hebrew. And it's the word medicine. The word health there literally means medicine. My words are life to those that find them. And notice this, medicine to how much of their flesh? All their flesh. So, as we see here, and what we're talking about today, what you see and what you hear will affect the condition of your heart. That's why 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence. You know, protect your heart. Like God told Adam, He says, dress the garden and keep it. That meant to guard the garden. Okay? Well, we're to guard our hearts. We are to guard our spirits. Okay? And He says, you know, don't let my word depart from your eyes. You know? He says, well, verse 20, He says, incline, He says, my son, attend to my words. Incline, notice this, your ear to my sayings. So what do we do with our ear? We what? We listen, right? We hear with our ear. But then He says in verse 21, let it not depart from your what? Eyes. So with your eyes, you what? You see. Now, these are the two portals. These are the two doorways, entryways into your heart through your eye gate and through your ear gate. That's right. Okay? Why is that so important? That's exactly how the enemy operates too. Okay? He wrestles to get your eyes and your ears focused on the wrong thing. And then you, like Peter, you start to sink. You start to go under. You start to sink. This is probably the best news you've heard all week.
Amen.
Do you know that? Come on now. Like they say, don't look like you're on jury duty now. I've heard that before, Pastor Keith. I know you've said that before, but you don't know what I'm dealing with. You know, you don't know. You're a pastor. You don't deal with it. How do you know? How do you know? If you think the devil tries to attack you, you ought to be a pastor.
That's right.
When you're when you've got the major arsenal and you're delivering the goods to the people, you think the devil's just going to sit back and try not to do something? He's going to try everything in his book to bring down leaders. In some cases, he has. But me and Jesus, I'm standing with him.
That's right.
Okay? Standing with him. But I'm telling you, Lynn and I, we could talk all day. We've had plenty of things we've been through the years, and we're not here to talk about that. But our only stability and saving grace, someone says, well, I'm not like Dan who preaches up there. I'm not like Pastor Keith or Pastor Lynn, you know. I'm just little old me. I know how people think sometimes. I don't have that anointing. Shut up. I don't think I ever said that before, but you're making excuses. Quit the excuses. You're a child of God. You're an heir of God. You're a joint heir with Jesus. You have everything that it takes. You have everything that it takes. You have enough faith. You have enough power. You have enough word on the inside of you to drive the devil crazy. Amen. You know, I remember, I'll close with this little story here, but when I was going to Bible school back in 1982, 1983, back in those days, we had people like Oral Roberts coming in and sharing with us. We had Dr. Cho, Paul Youngie Cho, the largest church in the world, would come and share with us. Lester Summerall would come. John Osteen would come. All these guys, a lot of them have moved into glory now. They came and they shared and they imparted with us. And you know, when you're younger, you kind of have this, ooh, ow, you know, like, oh, look at that. Look at this. I could never be like that, you know? And it was an awesome privilege to sit under these anointings. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it really was. Brother Copeland come in. You're sitting 10 feet from him, you know, back in those. These guys would come in and share with us, you know. Well, there's a tendency from the natural to have this ooh, ow. Like, these guys are like movie stars. They're like untouchables. And I was sort of like that, okay. Confess my fault. I was thinking, wow, this is really great. But that's Brother so-and-so. That's Sister so-and-so. I mean, these are the leading prophets in the land. There's Brother Hagin. Are you kidding me? You know? But the Holy Spirit interrupted me one day as I was sitting there. He got a hold of me because he knew what I was thinking. And he said, not in audible words. I didn't hear it with these ears, but I heard it in here, just like you hear them too. He said, son, did you ever notice? I'm sitting in one of the seminars while this had happened. He said, did you ever notice that they have the same Bible you have? Did you notice, secondly, that they have the same Holy Spirit that you have? I said, mm-hmm. And I heard this, no more excuses. No more excuses. I thought, dear Lord, they just decided to do something with the Word of God, and they decided to do something with their prayer life, and I can do the same thing. Maybe not exactly what they're doing, because we're all called to do different things. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But I was making excuses for it. I'm like, well, that's, you know, they're the big wigs. You know, they can do that kind of stuff. But I wasn't seeing myself like that. But the Lord said this. Did you notice? You have the same Bible they have. You have the same Holy Ghost that they have. There's no excuses. You go do what I've told you to do in the power and the might that I've called you to do it.
That's right.
Praise God. And that was in 1982. When the Lord spoke that to me, you know? And I still remember it to this day. So I close with this today. Praise God. You in this room, I want you to know this, you have what it takes to overcome. Whatever it is you're dealing with right now in your life, you have enough word, you have enough faith. It's just a matter of putting it to work. Amen. Start speaking that word. Amen. Get a scripture or two, and you begin to speak that word. Glory to God. And the overcoming power of Jesus Christ will saturate you and pick you up and put you through and bust down walls if necessary. And He'll get you to the place where you need to be. Amen. Amen. You have what it takes. Every one of you in this room right now. Don't make any excuses like, well, I was on the other side, I was born on the other side of the tracks. I'm poor. I'm this. I'm that. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough whatever. There's no, those are all excuses. They're lame excuses. But greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Every one of you have what it takes. Pastor, you don't know how long this thing's been going on for a long time. It doesn't matter. Time is not even a factor. You have what it takes. You have the faith of Jesus Christ. It's on the inside of you. Amen. All you have to do now is to act like it. That's what faith does. You don't wait for some special goosebump or feeling to think, well, let's see if I wait and see if I have this feeling now. You'll be waiting a long time. Peter stepped out on the water. He probably didn't have some special feeling. But he did it. He walked on the water. And I see a bunch of water-walking Christians in this room right now. Amen. You're not going to sink. That's the last word right there. You are not going to go under. You are not going to sink.
Thank you, Lord.
You hear me?
Yes.
That's the Lord right now. It's not just Keith talking here. You're not sinking. You're not going under. You're not going to drown in your problem. You're going up. When I was a kid, we'd try to take one of them little rubber balls at the bottom of a swimming pool, you know, and it's hard to get it down. And you'd let that thing go, you know, and that thing shoots up there, you know. That's exactly who you are.
Amen.
The devil might try to push you under like that, but you're coming right up, man. And you're not just like barely getting up above the water. You're shooting up above the water.
Amen?
Because the wind of the Spirit's at your back. He's helping you. The Holy Ghost is on the inside of you.
Hallelujah.
And I'm done. Praise God.